We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Pop Law Podcast. I am your host, Tyrone.
And I'm Desiree.
And we are not your attorneys.
So I want to get into...
Who said that?
Post-midterm election chaos. It was a lot going on.
Yeah, it was a learning lesson for many because... Yeah. Everyone is so used to instant gratification. And this was definitely a delayed scenario where people were like, election night, the results, that's end of the story. And that was not the end of the story.
So at first we thought Andrew Gilliam conceded. Well, he did concede.
Yeah, Andrew Gilliam conceded.
Then he changed his mind.
Based off of the slow rollout of the results that were coming in. Yeah. And as a person who, let's just say I'm from Florida, regardless of my complicated family moving around, let's just say I'm from Florida, I'm ashamed and upset, particularly at the county I'm from, because they are the reason we have Matt Gaetz. If anyone knows who that crazy man is, that is the representative from where I'm from. But anyway, the other issues they have in that state are in regards to just how they run elections. And for those of you who have of a certain age, you probably remember that back in 2000, we had some of these same issues with counting ballots. And lo and behold, almost 20 years later, similar issues with being able to determine the winner. And a lot has to do with just how ballots are tabulated down there. But not only did Gilliam have to unconcede. But I think Bill Nelson, the senator, he didn't have to unconcede, but he ended up in a similar situation in terms of recount. And I believe that the update for that is that we know Gilliam has not won. He's officially not trying to fight it anymore. And then Bill Nelson's race has gone to a hand recount. And so just for those, we're not trying to give you too much background on all of this, but that just means that they have a certain amount of votes or ballots that they couldn't determine how someone voted because there was multiple marks or they didn't mark certain candidates. So when you do that in Florida, they just discard your whole ballot for the main election purposes. So when you get to the hand recount, that's when they start looking at ballots to determine the intent of the person. Because some of these under or over votes or whatever they call them, it's just like a tiny dot for the other person in that bubble, but there's a full circle. But for some reason, just any mark in that little bubble, they weren't counting. So
they'll find a way around it to count votes all the time.
You know, they didn't find a way around for it was for
Stacey Abrams. She said, oh no, I am not conceding initially, but she finally, you know.
And then she didn't really, she said, this isn't a concession. She said, I'm not going to fight the results speech.
I'm going to acknowledge that whatever his name is, Brian Kemp is the victor, but she is filing a lawsuit.
Absolutely.
In the state of Georgia.
But then outside of those two things, that was big, obviously, because they were going to be, you know, making history in those states. But just in terms of for the Democrats, they ended up taking back the House in a large way, like literally flipping whole like counties, completely getting rid of all types of Republican leadership.
And did you see when that happened, y'all president said, Oh, I'm not, essentially, like, he's not worried about them. He'll play nice if they don't ask him questions or investigate him.
Which was crazy because they were like, that's not how this works. Like, either you want bipartisan, like, cooperation, or you want to, like, play ball.
But, you know, before we move on from this topic, there were at least 10 women of color who won in midterm elections. We had our first Black Attorney General of New York, Letitia James. Is that how you pronounce it?
You said it like Chris.
I mean, I'm going how it's spelled.
He said, no shade. He said Letitia. I said Chris.
We have our first Muslim woman in Congress. We have our first
women too.
Women, yeah. We have our first Native American woman in Congress. We have our youngest woman elected in Congress, and then our first Black Congresswoman from Massachusetts. Plus, you know, one from Connecticut, a lesbian woman. It was a first gay white man somewhere. I don't remember.
Oh, the governor of Colorado. He's the first openly gay governor ever. Mm. So yeah. There's a lot of historic first. It sucks that we still are having first at this point.
Exactly.
In our society, but we still need to celebrate, you know, little signs of progress. But it was a good week for the country to see that those who wanted some change were able to get some change, particularly if they are the majority. So, yeah, I'm in a pretty decent mood.
So, good job to all of you guys who voted and continue to vote. Like Absolutely. We said, you know, these state elections are most important.
And we have some runoffs coming up, too. Yeah. There's I can't even remember it, but she's running for senator in Mississippi. Said some pretty racist things talking about hangings and shit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, make sure she doesn't get in office. That runoff still has to happen in the next couple of weeks, Mississippi. So, please do everything you can to make sure homegirl does not get into office. And any of the... There's also... because Brian Kemp set down, his position needs to be replaced as a Secretary of State. So, people in Georgia, you still have someone else you need to go vote for, mm-hmm. And make sure that Brian Kemp's ilk aren't suppressing the vote any longer Absolutely. In that state. But, you know, speaking of suppression,
Jim Acosta and Trump, this White House battle is just crazy. Tyrone will give you guys some background on that.
So, I'd probably say I pay attention a little bit more than Desiree to all the political shenanigans just because she probably likes to keep her blood pressure down.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a glutton for punishment, so sometimes I just be on the Twitters. So, for those of you who don't know, there's a legal spin to this. So, Jim Acosta, he is a news reporter for CNN, and I believe he's the chief White House correspondent for CNN. So, that just means he is the person that they're pretty much always going to send to any White House function. And he's the one that if the reporters are going to be allowed onto Air Force One, he's going to be the one that represents CNN type of thing. So Trump was having a post-midterm election press conference. And he doesn't do press conferences often. So it was sort of a big deal that there was a press conference and he was going to be asked answering questions without, you know, a filter, like a representative speaking on
his behalf. Does he ever have a filter?
When I say a filter, it's like he didn't have someone there feeding him answers or, you know, prepping
him for this.
Yeah, you know, type of thing. Yeah. So anyway, at the press conference, Jim Acosta wanted to get in on the action because the setup was is that Trump was apparently calling BuzzFeed a failing pile of garbage. And it's like, well, what does that have to do with CNN? So he then said, I think they're going to suffer the consequences. They already are. And then he said, as far as CNN going out of their way to build it up, it's a disgrace what took place. It's a disgrace. And I think they ought to apologize to start. And then Jim Acosta, he decided he wanted to jump in. He goes, well, since you're attacking us, can you give us a question? Which was like, all right, shade. And then Trump responded, not you. Your organization is terrible.
Lord.
And then he continued to interrupt the reporter. Quiet. Don't be rude. Don't be rude. I wish I could do a better impression. No, I'm not going to give you a question. I'm not giving you a question. And so that's sort of how he began it. And then they went tit for, and this continued sort of actually throughout the press conference where he was like, no, like, you're fake news. You're, he said some variation of these things. I'm just quoting, please don't sue me for defamation. But this all culminated into a portion of that where Jim Acosta, he wouldn't give the microphone away when a White House intern tried to take it away from him. And he sort of put his hand up, the hand what he had with the mic, yeah. And he was trying to move away from her while he was still speaking into it, while he was speaking to the president. And
sis was going after the microphone, like trying to grab it.
And so they tried to spin this as him assaulting her and disrespecting the White House rules. And so all of this background information to let you know is that they banned him from the White House. And CNN was like,
we took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
They tried to resolve it behind the scenes, apparently, and they sent, like, you know, emails and letters, and nothing was happening. And then they were like, girl, we just gonna have to sue you.
So that's where many people were kind of confused. And we all know that Trump doesn't like to answer questions, but this situation could be a violation of the First Amendment and the Fifth Amendment. So following the press conference where CNN reporter Jim Acosta asked a question that Trump didn't appreciate, Acosta wanted to follow up and then follow up again and refused to hand over the microphone. Of course, Trump got agitated. The staffer was unsuccessful in her attempt to wrest the microphone from Acosta's hands, as Tyrone mentioned. And so the Trump White House revoked his White House credentials because, in the president's words, he failed to treat the White House with respect at the White House press briefing. That's when CNN filed a lawsuit against Trump and him and to restore Acosta's press pass.
So the lawyers for CNN claim that the ban is an unabashed attempt to censor the press and exclude reporters from the White House who challenge and dispute the president's point of view under the First Amendment.
CNN's lawsuit also alleges a violation of the Fifth Amendment, which states that under the federal government, no one shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
In court, Trump's attorneys responded to the complaint. They said, with respect to their First Amendment claim, the president and his staff have absolute discretion over which journalists they grant interviews to, as well as over which journalists they acknowledge at press events. And that broad discretion necessarily includes discretion over which journalists receive on-demand access to the White House grounds and special access during White House travel for the purpose of asking questions of the president or his staff.
So just recently, a district court judge granted a motion made by CNN and White House reporter Jim Acosta to temporarily return his suspended press pass while the case proceeds. And note that this victory for CNN was based on the Fifth Amendment issue, so they still have to go through the case about the First Amendment issue,
again,
which is freedom of speech typically.
And again, this was only a temporary injunction. So this, like she said, it's all sort of pending on how the case completely turns out. But interestingly enough, the judge, who is a Trump appointee named Timothy J. Kelly, said that Acosta was not afforded due process when his pass was revoked, a process he described as shrouded in mystery. And he also agreed that Jim Acosta had suffered irreparable harm by being deprived of his pass, which allows him to do his job as the network's chief White House correspondent.
Yeah, so we'll see if this is something we follow up on. I think it's an interesting case right now based off, it comes off the hinges of this whole midterm election.
Yeah.
And how they tried to spin it and say that he assaulted her,
It was so interesting because it played out in front of, like, the entirety of America.
Right.
And it wasn't something that, so, you know, a lot of things that sort of happen in this administration are behind closed doors, mm-hmm. or in meetings that the regular average everyday person wasn't privy to. And this was sort of out in the open. And I think that's one of the reasons why it makes it even more interesting that Fox News actually wrote an amicus brief. Or they either they vote on or they signed on to an amicus brief in support of CNN.
And we know Trump probably is mad about that. I think one of the other things that stuck out to me about this case was it kind of shows that the White House doesn't have unlimited power. They thought that they can just ban reporters and do what they want because they're not following the rules, which are not determined and defined, first of all. And the judge said, no, you can't.
Because he tries to treat things like he's still like a private citizen.
Yeah.
And just even if you watch the clip and like their back and forth banter, he's trying to shut him down like he would if it was one of his employees.
Yeah.
And that's why you can imagine. I don't think, did we talk about this? Jeff Sessions is out too.
Oh, yeah.
Literally so many things happened. Like, I think after this press conference, within 12 hours, Jeff Sessions was, he stepped down from his position at the request of Donald Trump. He was fired is what I would like to get. Like, you can word however you want, sis. You were fired because y'all haven't been good ever since you said you weren't going to do anything related to Russia.
Oh, and speaking of Russia, Mueller asked for the extension to file his documents in regards to that investigation. So I'm sure we'll update you guys on that whole fiasco.
It's so much happening right now, but we really just wanted to like give you the what's what of that case because it's sort of, it's everywhere, but I don't think everyone knows what is really happening with it. You can't do what Trump did in terms of just banning someone for
asking a question
and then they have to follow up on the First Amendment thing to determine if it was content-based, because you can't be like, oh, your network handles and treats stories a certain way and I don't like it, so you're banned from the White House. This is a public entity. Like, you, this is a public office. Everyone needs to be treated the same. So someone else who got in on all of this
White House drama content talking, it's Joy Reid. So if you don't know Joy Reid, her tweets or retweets are getting her in trouble. She is a MSNBC host, and she retweeted a photo by activist Alan Vargas in June 2018.
I think she goes by Joy Ann Reid too. At least that's how I see it on Twitter.
So in the photo, a woman in a Make America Great Again hat appeared to be yelling at a high school student during a city council meeting in Simi Valley, California. The woman, Roslyn La Liberte, is that how you pronounce that?
Let me
That's
see.
What I'm going with.
Rosalind La Liberte. La Liberte.
Yep. Where you going with it?
We're doing it.
She was among the crowd that was said to have called a student a dirty Mexican and told him, you're going to be the first to be deported. So after that happened, Vargas told everyone to spread the post far and wide. And that's what Ms. Joy Reid did. She retweeted the photo in his post.
And it went to her 1.2 million followers on Twitter. And it turned out that La Liberte actually did not say any of these things, which forced Reid to tweet an apology to La Liberte and the teenager, saying, it appears I got this wrong. So thus, La Liberte is suing Joy for defamation.
Defamation is at issue in this case because of the republication rule under the defamation law. Please listen to our Who Said That episode for a breakdown on defamation law. But under defamation law, the republication rule essentially says a person who repeats defamation is as liable as the person who originally said it. Clearly, retweeting falls under this rule.
The issue in this case is whether the actual contents of Reid's tweet is defamatory. La Liberte is likely not a public figure, meaning she's not subjected to a higher legal standard, but the tweet centers on an issue of national importance, immigration. So to shed just a little bit of color on this concept, if you don't know, it is not true. and have no reason to believe it is not true, then it should be fine, as this is a matter of public interest, which requires actual malice before there can be any liability when wrong.
So Joy Reid's team fired back from this lawsuit by invoking Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act of 1996, which states no provider or user of an interactive computer service shall be treated as a publisher or speaker of any information provided by another information provider. So that's where you get into the tweeting, which is an internet service, Twitter, and she retweeted something that she didn't initially post.
Yeah, and I think you could even stretch this out to like the searching engines themselves.
Yeah,
because they're like, we allow you to access this, but we aren't, we're just literally giving you the link to be able to get to the website. But interestingly enough, La Liberté's legal team responded by suggesting that if such a common law rule became the court's majority view pending legislative review, it would be a very dangerous concept, and that such a rule's application to the circumstances of this case would be a gross miscarriage of justice. So La Liberté's team recently amended her complaint to remove the defamatory claim in relation to the retweeted photo.
To be clear, this retweet is just one of the reasons La Liberté is suing Joy Reid, but it's the most interesting part that has the legal legs.
Yeah.
So La Liberté amended her complaint based on the possibility that Reid's team will file a motion to invoke California's anti-slap law. So under the anti-slap law, there is a mandatory fee-shifting requirement to the loser in the case. So go back to our slap episode to learn all about that law if you're interested. But essentially, La Liberté is not trying to get these legal fees.
Exactly.
If this case falls on her.
And it has to do with bringing like frivolous lawsuits,
yep.
Which apparently there are a lot of that happen in California because they passed the statute. So in essence, retweeters should err on the side of caution when retweeting, especially if they have deep pockets and a large social following. So it's safe to assume that this is one of the main reasons Joy Reid is in court over her retweets. So again, just like Desiree said, remember that it has to do, defamation also has to do with intent. So we're talking about the malicious intent. So I don't see necessarily the intent portion being met there for defamation. Right. And that's why they may have dropped that. Because if they can prove very easily, like, I believe this to be true. Mm-hmm. And the slap law gets applied.
Lord.
Homegirl probably doesn't have much money to be suing in the first place. And she definitely doesn't want to cover Joy Ann Reid's legal fees
because
she probably has the big guns on her team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just mind your business, I guess. And don't.
You know who else is minding their business? One of my favorite people.
Oh my gosh. You know, I just. We don't.
I'm so happy right now.
Y'all know. The queen is someone we keep near and dear to our hearts. And not just because she snatches wigs and edges, but because she's about her business.
She is snatching coins. So Beyonce, yes, the Beyonce, bought
Giselle
out.
Giselle knows.
Exactly. She bought out Ivy Park from Topshop. So if you guys remember in 2016, Beyonce launched a 50-50 partnership with Topshop for an active leisure line called Ivy Park. I'm wearing Ivy Park pants right now, by the way.
But just recently, though, Parkwood bought, you know, her company, bought out Arcadia's group's 50% share following claims against owner Sir Philip Green. And by the way, if you, his name sounds familiar, it's because you may know who his daughter is.
Yes.
Because homegirl has hooked up with
Prison Bay.
Sexy Felon.
Yeah.
Mr. Jeremy Meeks.
Yes, her Chloe Green. They have a kid together. He living his best
life.
They
have a whole child together. Just FYI, if you didn't forgot who this was. So current and former employees of his Arcadia Group have alleged a climate of fear, bullying, and harassment at the company. Allegedly, several employees were given enormous seven-figure secret payouts to settle their claims.
While Green has strongly denied the allegations of sexual harassment and racist abuse, saying any remarks had been banter. Okay, that can we just take a moment? This racist abuse cannot be banter. If you are saying something in relation to race in a derogatory way towards a person,
particularly an employee, like your employee, everyone at this company is your employee.
This is not banter.
You're at the top.
And we are not friends like that. This is an employee-employer relationship. Well, anyways, he has insisted that there was never any intent to be offensive. Most race... I'm done. Let's move on.
Well, Beyonce didn't care about any of that because Parkwood has now acquired 100% of the Ivy Park brand. And Topshop Arcadia will fulfill the existing order. So it's interesting. Do you think they will still sell at Topshop at all? Or will she just sell at all the other places that it's been popping up?
Probably maybe finding new distributors, because I foresee them keeping all of the merchandise that's already there. I don't see them pulling that.
Yeah, that
but
sense.
Not sending any new merchandise. A new line of Ivy Park is fire. It's like red and gray and black. I really like it a lot. So
yeah, it wouldn't make any sense to send that back. But you know what? Someone has to send back. Miss Rebel Wilson, we got an update for you, just real quick. So everyone knows Miss Rebel, first plus size rom com star. That was a joke, by the way. She's not. It's been quite the year for her since we last updated you on Rebel's defamation lawsuit. So as a reminder, Rebel sued German media owner Bauer Media for a series of false and defamatory articles written about her in Women's Day magazine.
So the articles accused the Australian-born actress of lying about her age, name, and childhood events in order to make it in Hollywood. Wilson argued the accusations had cost her roles and damaged her professional reputation. The damages awarded were a record for Australia. Wilson successfully sued Bauer Media and won $3.6 million, which is $5.6 million Australian dollars in damages.
But Bauer and their homegirls, the other major Australian media companies, appealed the decision on the basis that the payout was too high and there was insufficient evidence to prove that she lost roles based on the articles, which I also sort of believe when this came out, but I was like, that's just me. I'm going to give it to myself. So recently, the court agreed with Bauer Media, and they said that there was insufficient evidence that the defamatory articles prevented Wilson from getting lucrative roles. It cut her payout to $600,000 or $436,000, ordering the actress to repay the rest to Bauer Media.
That is quite a difference. Hopefully she didn't spend it.
Quite.
Well, you know, it's an update on a case that makes me sad.
Anyone who is down with Cash Money and them.
Yeah, Cash Money, Young Money. Birdman and Young Thug. I know we told y'all on a previous episode of their involvement or alleged involvement in the 2015 shooting of my boo, Lil Wayne. His tour bus got shot all up, you know. A man by the name of Jimmy Winfrey, aka Roscoe, was sentenced to 10 years in prison for the shooting.
Yeah, I think that's an update since we last talked, right?
I think so. Yeah.
In 2016, the bus driver Alan Lewis sued Birdman, Young Thug, and a few other folks for the gang-related shooting, which occurred after Roscoe and Wayne's crew got into an altercation after a concert. And as we previously mentioned, the media leaked an audio recording of Birdman talking to the shooter, Roscoe, following the shooting.
This made the judge stay or put the case on hold until the details of the call were investigated and to look into the defense attorney's conduct in this case. So I don't know. It seems like the behavior of Birdman and Young Thug's attorney was questioned by the judge. So that's a separate investigation. Well, now the attorneys for the defense team has filed a motion to quash or void their deposition, so the depositions of Birdman and Young Thug, and to prevent the bus driver and his attorneys from talking to the media about this case at all. And I'm not surprised by that. It's definitely bad for his reputation that you tried to kill Weezy, your son.
Yeah, I still don't know how they were able to get up on that stage and hug it out and be like, I love him, this my son, but I can't do his accent. But anyway, as of now, a decision has not been made on the motion, but it sounds like there is a lot of questionable activity going on down south. We'll let you know how things go, because this is one to watch, because there are real repercussions to
Miss Toni Braxton. Be careful. I know, girl, on Wendy Williams, she girl. Said he gave her to the Birdman, gave her to the end of the year to be his wife.
And speaking of Toni, hold on. That's all we have on that. Let's get into the pop culture roundup. So speaking of Toni, I just wanted to get into this. So did you see her go on with her family in a Yon Let's Fix My Life?
Oh, yes, I did.
This was a couple weeks ago, so I know we're late. But I just want to get into the point that she talked about was when Iyanla was asking her, like, do you like your family? And she was like, no.
If they were not my family, they would not be my friends.
I was like,
I was,
you
like,
can't
dang.
See my face right now, but my jaw, I was like, that's some real ish right there. She's like, I love them because of what we've been through together and what we've done for each other.
And we're blood.
She was like, but I absolutely do not like them. And I was like, wowzers.
That was some real stuff. When she said that, I was like, dang.
So I wonder how it... So when you say something like that, how you gonna do Thanksgiving together?
How she gonna be over there with...
How you gonna... Like, you can't be like, pass the cranberry, I don't like you. Like, you can't do that.
That was definitely hard. But I think, you know, once the sisters get out their feelings about it, it should be something for you to take a look at yourself and see what you're doing wrong, because Toni carried y'all her whole life.
She did. And I think she put up with a lot. Y'all
put up a lot, so you have to do some internal reflection.
I think she was referring to one person especially, Tamar.
Lord.
Because Tamar has some issues of attention and wanting things to be about her a lot, and that's, you know, it seemed like Toni had tried her best over the years to try to adapt to, especially when she got her career sort of took off and she got the solo light, because they started off as a group. And anyone who keeps up with the Braxton family values,
and they only wanted Toni, and so exactly. Toni became Miss Toni Braxton, who Beyonce channeled for Halloween.
Oh yes, you should have checked out Beyonce's Halloween pictures.
Okay, let's get off these brackets. What are your Thanksgiving plans, Tyrone?
You know, just making a whole ass Thanksgiving dinner from scratch for me and my booze family. And Lord knows that I do not want to cook that much food, but I'm going to do what I need to do because I can't. And everyone's not able. What about you, Desiree?
I'm headed down to Florida to spend Thanksgiving with my boo. I'm cooking. Well, we're cooking together because I'm not doing all that cooking. So we are cooking together. And we're going to just have some time with us. And his birthday is the day after, so I have some things planned for us.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and, you know, life is short. Rest in peace to Kim Porter.
That was really sad.
She's a model, actress, businesswoman, former long-term ex of Sean P. Diddy Combs.
Yes. She has a kid with him as well.
She's leaving behind 4 children, and it was very sad for me. I remember seeing her growing up, and I was just so happy to see this tall, beautiful chocolate woman in the media. Yeah. So it definitely gave, like, little brown girls some self-confidence.
Also, I would just like to say this to all these mainstream media outlets, and even if you aren't mainstream, shame on all of you who put out headlines of saying Diddy's ex passed away, or someone's ex passed away. This was like a whole ass grown woman with a career and a life outside of the man that she dated. So call her by her name.
Kim Porter.
Say her career. Say that she she's currently a mother, so why would you leave with the fact that she's someone's ex? Yeah. Come on now.
So she was 47. Apparently, she was battling pneumonia, which turned into cardiac arrest, and she passed away. So take care of your health and be grateful. So let's end on this note. What are you thankful for? We'll say what we're thankful for, starting with Tyrone, and then leave us comments, because you know it's almost the end of the year. Get it right now.
It's time for some reflection.
Yes.
You know, I would say I am thankful for peace of mind, because a lot of changes have happened for me since, I guess, last Thanksgiving. And when you're going through changes, sometimes it's hard to find a place of, like, content. And you sort of, if things aren't going, especially if things aren't going the way you want them to. And I'm really thankful, you know, to be stable and to be able to, you know, have perspective and work towards the plans that I have, because I tell you, without peace of mind, none of those things are possible. Right. What about you, Desiree?
I'm thankful for life, family, friends, health. I'm building the wealth. but most importantly, I think patience. Like you said, this has been a transitioning year. You know, some things didn't go the way I thought they would go this year. But what I've learned is, you know, when I prayed for particular things, and you know, when I thought things were happening, it didn't, or was supposed to happen, it didn't match my prayer. So I've prayed for, like, God to remove people from my life that don't mean me well. And yeah. I've asked for whatever I do next to be stable and X, Y, and Z. So when I look at the grand scheme of things, the things that I've prayed for are actually happened. Maybe different opportunities didn't happen because they didn't match my prayers and stuff. And so when I changed my perspective, I was like, okay, you are getting everything that you ask for. And so patience,
and not just what you ask for, what you need.
Yep.
That's why we're getting a little spiritual on you. But no, praying for the will of God to be done in your life is what I like to do. Because then it takes the pressure off you to try to figure out what you need to do. You know? Just like, whatever is for me, let that happen.
Amen. We going to church.
Hey.
But have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
It's the holiday season. You'll get an episode when you get
one. You will get another episode. But, you know, in the meantime, you know where we bees at? In the trap. No, I'm just playing. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're still on Facebook. I'm not going to say anything about bad about Facebook.
Instagram. We have our website, www.poplawpodcast.com.
Oh, and also, we're probably launching a newsletter or a listserv, some type of thing soon. So be on the lookout for that, because that may be a supplement to this show and a little bit of extra content on there, things we couldn't quite cover. You get access to the episodes early, maybe. We all know we're trying to work out exactly how that's going to roll out. But, you know, for our true fans out there, all of you, all 10,000 of you.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Speak it into existence. You know where we bees at.
And remember, we are not your attorneys.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.